Welcome to my new podcast. Today's guest star is Rishika, the host of Chaotic Calm Podcast, a conversation podcast where she interviews fellow sports students. Hello, Rishika.
Hello, Joe.
Welcome to my new podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So, actually, why did you come up with the idea to make your podcast, which is Chaotic Calm?
Okay, bear with me because like this might be a long story. So, a little background about myself. I was a student athlete from the Singapore Sports School. I studied there for 6 years. And being in that environment allowed me to get a better understanding of how the sports scene is like in Singapore, because you're literally in the industry as an athlete. And during my time there as a student athlete, I played netball. It allowed me to notice how the media, you know, interacts with Singaporean athletes, or people view athletes in Singapore or view sports in Singapore, and how much value they think sports has. So for instance, like, you know, it's a very common stereotype where many people always mention like, oh, if you play sports, then you have no future in Singapore. I think same can be said to like the culture and art scene in Singapore, where like, you know, if you want to be a singer or a dancer, you're not going to do really well. And many parents and many people might not be supportive of their children or like youth pursuing these kind of unconventional careers. And also, I also felt very passionately about improving the sports industry in a sense of like, I think having been an athlete in the system, I think the system is still a little backdated compared to other countries. Definitely like very far behind the likes of US, UK, you know, where they have like D1 leagues that are like that earn so much money, like on the same level as NBA, that kind of like, yeah, like their D1 leagues is like as good as like the Olympics, you know, like literally like they have to fight for people to enter the Olympics. Like, because like everyone is so talented there and they're like the best of the best, you know. And definitely like when we compare ourselves to those countries with like these big sporting names, we are definitely very far behind. But that's not to say that whatever works in those countries will work in Singapore. It definitely will not. But I think that one way of effecting change in how we view our athletes, as well as the importance we place onto sports as a culture, as a society, and one way to change athletes' view of their future as well is through storytelling. So I think one aspect of like the social ecosystem and change makers is storytellers. They're a very important aspect. And once we get these stories of athletes out, you know, people will understand and like understand better more about like how our athletes train, their stories, their lives. And from there, when they have this connection with the athletes and they get to know the athletes more, then we can get more people supporting our athletes, you know, because I think definitely the way to grow sport is definitely through increasing viewership. And that's where we get more sponsors in. And when there's more sponsors, there's more money. And that's how the industry grows, you know. And people can turn professional within the Southeast Asian region itself. And so like, I decided to interview my fellow, like, classmates, my fellow teammates about their stories, you know. Not just the athletes, but also the people around the athletes, like the coaches, the psychologists, and things like that. And I really wanted to get these stories out, you know. If you look at the US, for instance, even high school sports get coverage in their local newspapers. Their local, like, communities, like the Woodlands, not Woodlands. I come from Woodlands, I don't know whether there's a Woodlands in America, but like their local communities support their high school teams and they cover them in the local newspapers and everything like that. And if we could do that in Singapore, you know, support our secondary school athletes, or like, you know, every neighborhood in Singapore has a secondary school, how exciting would it be to, you know, like have a whole community supporting the school during national school games, it would be so exciting. And that sense of like community and spirit, and I think it's a great platform. And it's not just to benefit the athletes, but I think it will benefit the community. Ooh. And so like I had this greater vision and this greater like, I'm a dreamer, like, so like this big like grandiose like vision of what like sports in Singapore could be like. And so I just wanted to start small and get these stories out there, because I feel that when I get these stories out there, maybe other people might be inspired along the way and, you know, want to come and support them more. So that's how this entire podcast came about. Yeah.
I see. So your aim is to benefit the sports people by promoting sports, is it?
Yes, through storytelling.
Through storytelling. Yeah. Okay. So in that case, why do you do it with a podcast instead of other types of media? Like you mentioned that in the US, there are local newspapers. So why not write for the local newspaper? Like why start a podcast?
In Singapore, local newspaper will be the Straits Times. So, I mean, I know they have like newsletters for like Sembawang Town Council, but like it doesn't come out all the time, I think. Yeah. And also, I could write like online stuff and blogs and blah, 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 blah. But I feel that there's already that. There's Red Sports SG that covers national school games and rights and updates and everything. On top of that, I also wanted to relate it to what my own personal skill set like has that would benefit this storytelling. And since secondary school, I was always like MC at events. I even did like sports commentary, and I've always been like more of like a public speaker kind of person. So I think for me, I wanted to tap on that skill set and that comfort I had in being behind a mic. Yeah, so I chose a podcast. And also I think it was pretty unique because like I think there's not very many podcasts in Singapore that cover athletes. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So you did your research, huh?
About
podcasts in Singapore that support athletes or talk about athletes.
I was listening to podcasts, but yeah, I usually the interviews for Singaporean athletes has always been like video format and things like that. Yeah.
So you are planning to do an audio only for a change?
Yes. And also on top of that, I did like some online courses when I was trying to teach myself how to be a storyteller. And there's an added benefit to telling stories via audio format compared to one with where there's visuals or one with just words, because when you're just listening to a person, it can be actually a bit more intimate, because you know how like when you read a book, right, for instance, you visualize like what this character could be and you have this your own idea of like how the character would look like, compared to like another person reading the exact same book, the picture that they form in their head of how the character looks like is completely different from yours. And same thing with audio format, when you're like listening to someone, the added stimuli of like having a visual in front of you is taken away, so your brain is just focusing on like listening to the words, compared to like, you know, when you have a visual in front of you plus audio, there's so much like your body is like reacting to so many stimuli and like getting in all the stimuli and absorbing all of it, so there's a lot of things going on, and you might not just be listening to them, you were also like looking at their body language, trying to figure out. Whereas like when it's just audio, you're just focusing on the tone of voice. You're really immersing yourself into like absorbing the content through like one means. And I think like that was really interesting an interesting perspective that I found out, like, that can be a sense of personal connection with the person you're hearing the story from through just audio format. So I think that was really interesting. Yeah.
So I guess it's the same thing that people say about reading books versus watching a movie, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And it's also like the idea where like many people ask artists or singers like, oh, what does this song mean to you? Or like they ask an artist like, what were you trying to portray? Or like, what is the message you're trying to send across? Most of the time you notice, right, actually these artists decline to answer, or they say it's up to the consumer of my art up to their interpretation. And it's because once the artist gives their perspective of why they wrote this song or like the story behind this song, right? The personal connection that the consumer had built with the art is lost because suddenly like the meaning they put to the song that they related the lyrics to their own life is now like gone because like now it's they realize like, oh, it's actually not about my life, it's about the artist's life. Yeah, so like I don't know if I'm like drawing like weird connections, but I just got reminded of that. Yeah.
Okay, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Point to bring up. So onto your podcast itself, mm-hmm. how did you choose your guest stars for the podcast actually?
Mm. Okay, actually I wasn't very picky. It was just people around me who I had access to. So like one of my best friends, Cheyenne. I believe my interview with her was my very first episode, I think. Yeah, and then also I had a classmate who is still a national triathlete. His name is Nicholas. He also has had quite a interesting and inspiring story. So I also took the opportunity to interview him. And then outside of just like athletes, I also interviewed my ex-netball coach and also someone who I work very closely with till today. Her name is Coach Danica. So I also have an interview out with her. And through her, I also got to know the Paralympian, Teresa Goh, and interviewed her too. So it's just basically people whom I admired in my own life and already know their stories pretty well and thought, hey, I think these people deserve their stories to be heard and deserve for them to be known so they can not just inspire me, not just stop inspiring me, but inspire others too. And yeah, I think there's beauty in the stories of everyday people that you don't hear about. And that was how I kind of like chose people. It's more of like they were around me. I didn't really have like a criteria. Yeah, but mainly it's like I believe everyone has like an interesting story to share.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's mainly just like if they're an athlete and they did something like quite unconventional, like change sports mid-career or something, and or like come back from an injury, how they did it, and like stories that could relate to others as well. So yeah.
Ah, okay, interesting. Even in this very podcast, it's kind of like that. I just ask friends to come and record.
Yeah, I really love that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like there are too many people with interesting stories and too little time for me to record everyone.
Right. I wish like one hour was too short like for like anything.
More like the amount of time that I have because I need to record and then mm-hmm. edit the podcast and then publish it.
Yeah. Oh so, yeah. The production process is insane.
Like, I don't know about you, but personally it takes me 5 to 9 hours to edit this.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that is just editing the podcast for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear my air from earlier, it's going to probably get cut. Hey, Philo Geo, please don't cut that, okay? Thanks.
Yeah, for me, I didn't spend as long because I'm not like as technologically savvy as you. And if you go and listen to my podcast, the audio is super, super low quality compared to yours. So yeah, I just literally put it into like some software and just like say remove background noise and I was like done. Yeah, so wow. It was like super sloppy job because like I really also like didn't have time to edit and I just wanted to like produce things, but in hindsight like I guess I should probably remove take background. Care of like how it sounds because like that's the whole like way my entire like podcast is being communicated through the audio. So yeah
I mean yeah. That's the point, right? You don't have any other redeeming quality,
yeah, other than the audio.
Yeah. But honestly, even this podcast, right, the first edit that I do is mm-hmm. remove background noise.
Yeah.
That's the most important one. Yeah. But of course, I don't know if y'all have listened to my new podcast from season 1, episode 1 mm-hmm. to this very episode. Mm-hmm. But in case you do, right, you do notice that as the season or episode progresses, the sound gets more and more processed. So if you hear, right, season 1, episode 1 is literally just me plugging an okay-ish mic to an okay-ish audio interface and recording it. And then just uploading it without any edit whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But my more recent episodes, they have gone through some editing, whether it's remove background noise, EQ, compression, or some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an exception though in this season.
Spot the exception and get one free Milo from Gio.
For legal reasons, I'm not giving away Milo. But if you like Milo, I suggest you get it from your local store. Thank you very much. There's a reminder to hydrate, okay? I'm going to hydrate also.
With Milo.
Not yeah, with Milo. Wait, one. Okay, let's hydrate together.
We are actually opening up our water bottles. Surprisingly, we both have Nalgene bottles. Cheers. Oh. Cheers. You can hear the water being gulped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Back to the equipment. So, I honestly spent like an hour and a half-ish
mm-hmm.
per episode to figure out the sound, like to figure out what effects to put on the sound, like how much EQ or compression or what are the parameters to put. Most of my editing is just to remove R's and O's, which is, it takes surprisingly long to remove all those stuff
because
mm-hmm. sometimes I need to re-listen to it, see if the connection is smooth enough or not. So yeah, if you're an aspiring podcaster and you don't want to spend too much time editing the podcast, I guess that's my advice. Just don't cut anything, okay? Oh yeah, speaking of which, actually, what do you use to record your podcast?
Like what did I use to record?
Yeah, like your equipment.
I don't remember the exact like models, but it was super cheap mics that were like $30 off Shopee. Mm. And I actually like basically bought all my equipment based on like recommendations from online courses that I took of podcasting, and it was just like recommending mics for beginners and like don't really want to invest so much yet because they're still like seeing if they want to take this on. Yeah, so I think maybe the mics were decent,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't know how to edit it or use the mics properly. And this was during COVID times when I couldn't get out of the house because like Singapore was in lockdown, and the people around me that I knew back then were all athletes. Like, so most of us don't know much about like audio and stuff. So like all my friends and like the people around me, they also, there's no one I could really like ask about all these audio kind of things. So I pretty much just learned everything I needed to know through the internet and thought the audio was fine based on how I listened to it. But when my friends listened to it, and then that's when like I have this friend Yusuf Kim, he's like super straightforward. He came up to me, he was like, Rishika, do you wanna come and use my mic instead? And I was like, oh, why? He's like, your audio's trash. And that was a sobering wake up call. So that's when I knew like, okay, I probably need to like need some help with the audio side. Yeah.
I see. So, did he help?
Actually, at the point in time, I kind of stopped recording all my episodes already. I mean, stopped recording new episodes of my podcast. And it's been like that ever since because I took on other commitments in my life and couldn't commit to it. But I do probably see myself going back in the far future, but not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You get to say,
yeah,
I bought my mic off Shopee too.
Okay, this is the thing, you know. A talented person with resources equals like results. Like, not talented person with the same resources might not be able to produce the results. Wait, but like, your mics, I guess, were more expensive than $30, right?
Yeah. So, I guess that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff are good at their price.
Yes.
My mic is good at its price. Once you go like three times its price, you start getting annoyments and you start saying my mic is trash. Oh yeah, by the way, that's a gauge of how much my mic costs, in case you're wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, So back to the podcast, back to your podcast again. So how do you actually come up with the questions? Because, you know, like all the time when I make this podcast, I didn't really think of the questions. Yeah. I just think of getting people inside. Because, yes, we all know this is an audio engineering project at the end of the day.
Okay, so I didn't really focus on it. Like, okay, I guess it's the difference between an engineer and an art student. I focused more on the art side of it, the storytelling side of it, and you have a focus on, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like on definitely producing good audio.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I guess we should host a podcast together since we have the best of both worlds.
Idea. When you come back to podcasting, I can become your audio engineer.
Yes. You can be my co-host too.
Okay, fair.
Yes, we can work together. But anyways, back to the my answer. What I focused on was, like, because my intention was to get stories out there. So definitely every time when I called someone on, I already have an idea of what I kind of know about them and what I'm curious about them. So for example, with Theresa Goh, she's not my very close friend who I know everything about, for sure. But I do know something about her, which she's a Paralympian. You know, she is involved in, like, certain organizations where she helps with advocacy for, like, let's say the LGBTQ community, for instance, and things like that. And so I was very curious about, like, things, you know, that definitely everyday Singaporeans would want to know about our sporting superstar, like someone like her. So I just thought about, like, what would the everyday Singaporean want to know about her? You know, an everyday athlete want to know about her. And from there, I crafted my questions. And my pre-production process was probably the longest compared to every other process in my podcast. So I actually did pre-interviews. So I called them in on a different day through Zoom because it was COVID, and sat down with them for a good, like, 30 to 45 minutes, just having a simple chat, no recording, no nothing, no strings attached, and just building a relationship with them and, like, understanding them better. So I brought them in pre-interview, talked to them for like 30 minutes, you know, asking them some questions, you know, just getting to know them. And through getting to know them, it gave me a better idea of what more to ask, what more I can dig into. So the pre-interview was very surface level. It's to kind of, like, help me get an idea of, like, which areas I can dig deeper into during the actual podcast. Because definitely I don't want to have the gems in the pre-interview and leave nothing for the actual interview. I want the raw emotions, the emotions I want to bring out. And that was actually a tip I learned from the online course I took.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I did pre-interviews and then crafted my questions from there. Yeah.
I see. Well, so that's, like, how TV interviews work, right? Usually they have a pre-interview first, then they do the actual interview.
Yeah, because I think for my end, I was really, really focused on, like, the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
So back to the questions, right? So you mentioned that you want to ask the questions that people are curious about. So
yes,
I take that as you actually surveyed people on what kind of questions would be good.
No. I did not do that. I just thought to myself, like, if, like, I tried to put myself in the shoes of
a listener,
and I'm probably biased because obviously, like, the things I'm interested in is different from, like, other people, but just try to be curious and stay curious and just have an open mind, yeah, to whatever comes in and let the conversation flow. And sometimes, even though I had, like, certain interviews when the conversations are getting very interesting, right? Even though I had, like, a set list of questions, sometimes the interviews were getting pivoted to, like, a better direction, like mid-interview. So sometimes I'll just be, like, scribbling down, like, new questions halfway through to, like, ask better questions that will lead to, like, more interesting conversations. And I think in the earlier parts of the podcast, I was very focused on following the questions that I had. And, like, it was like I shoot a question and then there's an answer coming back. I shoot another question and there's another answer coming back. And it was, like, super inauthentic. I was just checking things off, like, a to-do list, you know, of questions. And I felt, like, upon reflection in the later episodes, I was like, actually, you know what? Let things flow and just be open to what happens. And I think that's when more authentic conversations can come in, you know, instead of like very robotic like things. But definitely there's a challenge, because if you're like interviewing high profile people, like let's say you have like a minister come in, if you suddenly pivot to some question that was not like approved by, like, I don't know who you're supposed to like approve it by, like their PR team or something, then I'm sure like there'll be like, you know, like some consequences. I'm not sure, like people not being very happy yet, like, or I accidentally asked an offensive question and they might not be very happy about it. But you know what, you live and you learn.
Okay.
So, yeah, I that was just like,
anyway, they, yeah, can always ask to cut that part,
yeah,
off,
yeah, right? Yeah,
yeah, fair.
Mm-hmm.
I remember along all these episodes of my new podcast, there are two people who actually took notes of the questions and what to answer. And those two people happen to be two of the three vice presidents they have interviewed.
Wait, vice president?
Of certain committees. I've interviewed Anya, the vice president of, at that time, NUS CDE Club.
Mm.
Arya, the current vice president of PINUS. And last but not least, Nick, the current vice president of NUSU.
Yeah, you see, they're trained.
Yeah, they, like two of those three actually brought notes in.
Mm.
The other one basically told me, I'm going to YOLO this.
Yeah.
I like to YOLO this.
Yeah. Yeah. I funny thing, I come from, I work at a PR firm.
Oh.
And I prepare briefing books for like CEOs and MDs before they go for their interviews and things like that.
Oh, wow.
And so like, I really do admire and do recognize the need to prepare, especially when you're an important figure, like preparing your answers, making sure like, you know, you speak in a PC manner, you don't offend anyone, you get your important like points across and things like that. Yeah, but like for me, I'm looking for authenticity. Yeah, I think like a lot of things can be like very like rigid and crafted sometimes. So
I see.
Yeah, like I just came in here to YOLO. Yeah. Actually, I was like thinking in the office just now, like, oh my god, should I create my own briefing book for myself? like my own answers. But I was like, never mind. Because I pretty much like you're asking things that are in my head. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So
fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even in this very podcast, I think that's what I'm doing also. I make a list of questions, by the way, just so you all know, listeners. But I aim to take all of them. And so far I've actually taken all of them. But if there's something interesting, I will like sidebar. And sometimes those sidebars are actually 20 minutes long, which is like pretty much 1/4 of the entire podcast. Yeah. When I have like 10 questions and then I sidebar for like 20 minutes for one of them. It has happened before and it may or may not happen again. It may or may not be in this episode, just saying.
But I guess that's the fun of like podcasting, you know, you can just like go off tangent and it's fun.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. And yeah, I also like you like kept a notebook with like every single question for every single interview. And I used to like write down and annotate their answers and everything. And like I realized I wasn't being like immersed in the conversation and thinking of like how I can. Instead of hearing, instead of listening, I was just hearing, you know. So I think for me, I changed that afterwards and just like went with the flow. Yeah, but it's definitely like up to you, like your own style and how you want to do things. And like every podcast is different. Every podcast requires different things. So I definitely would say like a tip, if I'm even qualified to give a tip from like a 7-episode podcaster.
You are.
Yeah, I don't even know how many podcasts I have.
Oh my.
How many episodes I have. Yeah.
Okay, let me check.
But one tip is to always be intentional with what you do and come back to your intentions. And it's a good, like if you ever feel lost or whatever, just come back, ground yourself with why you're doing this, what you want to achieve from this. You know, for me, it's like storytelling. So what should I focus on to improve the storytelling and things like that. And I think it really helps guide and pulls you back to what you need to do. Yeah. And okay, side note, because Gio has been losing his mind and shouting, I love engineering. You probably won't hear this, but it's because we're having some technical issues throughout this podcast. And I'm like learning through him also how to be an engineer, but yeah, Gio's losing his mind, guys. So please give this a like and follow his podcast because he works super hard at this. It's insane how much time and effort he puts into this. Yeah.
Thank you, Rishika. Hey, listeners, you heard that, right? Yeah. Now, please follow my new podcast Instagram at mynipod_. Please please subscribe to our Telegram channel at mynipod.
Wait, you have a Telegram channel too?
We have a Telegram channel. It's at mynipod.
Okay, I'm following.
Let's go!
Yeah, and then Gio will give you a free Milo.
Thanks. I am lactose intolerant.
Oh my God, you are?
Yes.
Same. At certain days. I don't know.
Certain days? How does that work?
I have no idea.
That's good to hear. Anyway, I think you have at least 10 episodes. You have the first episode, you have season 1 until episode 3, and then you have Mind and Body Chats until number 3, and then you have season 2 until episode 6.
Oh yeah, I had Mind and Body Chats.
So, I don't know if you want to count it as 9, 10, 12, or 13.
I can't do math. Wait, how many again?
You have one first episode that's not numbered. You have a season 1 from episode 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
You have Mind and Body Chats number 1 to 3. Then you have season 2 from episode 1 to 6.
Oh, okay. I guess it's 12.
It's 12.
Yeah, the first episode was just like a long episode of me just rambling into the mic.
Honestly, same.
Yeah. I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I'm talking into a mic.
So that's your mic equipment test.
Yep.
I see. My first episode is also a mic equipment test. And that's why it has no edits whatsoever. It's just to test my equipment. But it's a 14-second long equipment test though. So, it's significantly shorter. But I've rambled onto the mic for 40 minutes plus. I think you can listen to it in season 2, episode 4. So
we've all been there, done that, I guess.
Been there, done that. I think there's a stage that you need to go to as a podcaster. You need to
just try
be comfortable with rambling about something into the mic and hopefully doing it without cuts. Unlike me, I did like at least 5 cuts around there, but I don't even remember how many cuts I did. But I did a lot of takes. But I have some good takes
actually. Listening to this makes me feel very reassured because like I felt like I talked too much.
Yeah. No, you don't. It's fine. I've had people who answer questions for longer. I've had people who answer questions for shorter. So it's really up to you. I think that's the point of this podcast also. Like, I don't care as much about the answers or storytelling as the actual audio content of it. So it really is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned that you work for a PR firm. So do you have anything that you're doing in the PR firm that you think helps you in your podcast or your storytelling within the podcast?
So the main reason I decided to intern at a PR firm was because like public relations is very much about storytelling, at least my perspective of what public relations is about. And a lot of people don't really know what PR is. So PR is basically public relations, where I help, so with my PR firm, I help my clients build a better reputation by bringing out the ethos of the company through storytelling. So getting their story published in publications and securing interviews with, let's say, like Straits Times, writing bylines, things like that. So basically releasing press releases, putting clients on the map through storytelling. And so through being in PR, it's taught me like a different form of how I can get stories told. And PR is very much about relationship building as well. Building relationships, not just with your colleagues, your boss, but also with your clients and especially journalists and the media. Because if you don't have a relationship with the media, you're not going to score any hits for your clients. Your story is not going to be told. And so I think definitely the skill that you learn in PR, apart from just like the technical like side of like writing, making sure, you know, your words are coherent, your bylines are like interesting, or blah, 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 trend jacking, all that. Despite of all that like technical aspects of things, the soft skills that I've picked up and is so much. And like how to talk to someone, to convince someone that, hey, this company's like story is important. Like Like, it could be the boringest launch, you know. Like, literally, I even do, like, crypto Web3, like, really, like, technically hard to understand and grasp topics. But I still need to, like, put it in layman terms and like, make it punchy so, like, we can convince the media to pick up on these stories and tell these stories. And so I definitely learned a lot about relationship building through PR so far. Yeah.
I see. So I assume when you're doing this, you deal more often with the mainstream media?
Yes, mainly journalists like Straits Times, like all the big names like CNA, even like smaller names like tier one media publications, tier two, tier three, across Southeast Asia because we're a regional firm.
Yeah. It's a Southeast Asian PR firm?
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, do you aim for like journalism within your niche too? So let's say that it's a Web3 company. Do you aim to like find new sources that deal with Southeast Asian Web3 or even global Web3? Do you go there also or okay. do you focus on mainstream? Yeah.
So basically, like let's say I want to release news like a company collaborating with my client to release NFTs, non-fungible tokens, for instance, right? I have to go through each. So I have a list of publications that I would like to target. So for instance, it could be like, I want my story on Straits Times, you know? And then I have to go and search for journalists who write about tech or like NFT, crypto, that kind of like in that field. Usually you can find them through like seeing, so every morning I do media monitoring. Like every morning you have to monitor the media for different keywords, see who's writing what. You build up your list of journalists from there. And this is just how my firm does it in my experience so far. Every firm does it differently. There's different PR campaigns. Campaigns don't just include like emailing journalists the press releases. You know, there's so many other kind of PR campaigns, you know, like building a brand, building a name. There's so much to it. Yeah, but anyways, so basically like once I have a list of journalists who cover these topics, I also find out like which other publications, not just Straits Times, you know, like in the like NFT world, in the NFT landscape, like there's CoinDesk, Decrypt, AMB Crypto, Be In Crypto, like these kind of publications. There's a lot of them that we also target, and definitely like for every publication, it's different. Some publications are based in like America, so they might not necessarily be interested in covering news in Singapore. So you have to find out whether they have a Singapore bureau or which of their journalists in particular seems to cover Southeast Asian news more compared to their other journalists. So there's a lot of like finding out, and definitely we also have like ways to contact journalists and find out ways in which like the journalists like to be contacted. Some journalists don't like WhatsApp texts. Some journalists like emails only between 1 to 5 p.m. Some journalists don't like press releases. I don't know. Like there's a lot of things. So it's definitely where this important part of relationship building comes in, where you need to understand the person you are pitching your story to and understand your client and bridge that gap. So basically you are bridging the gap between the client and the person who's like going to listen to the story, and that's where it's very important to understand people and use a bit of empathy to kind of read what they like, what they don't like. Yeah, and that's how the entire like process of like how do I pick who to tell my stories to goes. Yeah,
I see. So are there any differences between the language you use across different platforms or even niche? Because like, let's say you mentioned CoinDesk. So CoinDesk is aimed at people who are into crypto in the first place, while Straits Times, that may or may not be the case.
Yep.
So are there a difference between the language used? Like, can you use more specialized language in CoinDesk than Straits Times, for example?
Yeah. When it comes to press releases, we usually keep it the same, like uniform. But pictures, we can tweak it. So pictures is where the first interaction journalists have before they meet the press release. Like, so we say, okay, after they read the pitch note, then we will say, okay, the press release is attached below. And then they read the press release based on their interest that has been piqued through the pitch note. So we only have that very little time to grab the attention of the journalist. And so definitely the pitch note is tweaked to suit the specific journalist that we are writing to. Yeah, and same for bylines, for instance. Like, I was just writing a like coming up with an idea for like the byline, and like the pitch note has to be tweaked for different publications, even within the same sector, like lifestyle sector itself, right? Some like to write about women in blockchain, but some might want to be more focused on art and like the artistic aspect of NFTs, you know. So from there, then we tweak our pitch note to suit who we are targeting. Yeah.
So means that for some media, you say, oh yeah, so this is made by women, but some you say this is a piece of art, something like that.
Yeah, like this NFTs help creators and grows the content creator industry in Southeast Asia, for instance. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I see. So actually, right, I'm curious about your podcast recording. Since you record like most of them remotely, like what do you use to record your guest stars content?
I interviewed them through, I believe it was Zoom. Either Zoom or Google Meet. Wow, this is ages ago, yeah. But then I just like connect my mic to my computer and then I recorded it through Camtasia. Yeah.
So your mic goes to your laptop. Your laptop opens Camtasia.
Mm-hmm.
And your laptop also opens Google Meet.
Yeah.
Or Zoom. And then you record all of them in Camtasia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting setup.
Yeah.
Can you separate your channels though?
Can. Yeah. But I think like Camtasia was the most expensive thing that I spent on.
Wow.
Yeah. I record, like I edited like everything on there. Like even my like outro, intro.
Oh wow.
Record everything through there.
Isn't Camtasia a screen recording software?
Screen recording?
Is it a screen recording software? It was, right?
I don't know about that, but like mine could like edit like YouTube videos, that kind of thing also. Can edit videos on there also.
Okay, let me find out. What is Camtasia? It's a screen recorder and video editor.
Yeah.
Okay, Ken. Interesting. It reminds me of the one time when I created a song using, out of all software, Adobe Premiere Pro. Fun times.
We've all been doing stupid shit. If I can say shit on your podcast.
You can.
Okay.
Some people have called their professors bitch in the podcast.
Oh,
don't worry.
Okay.
Okay, so actually, right, what's the podcasting course that you took? I am curious also. I might want to take it after this. And probably our listeners who want to start a podcast can also refer to it.
Okay. Let me search on like my Gmail or something. I hope there's a record of it somewhere.
You don't even remember your podcast course, is it?
No, it was ages ago. It was a few years back.
Oh yeah, that is fair.
Like I close my eyes, I'm in year three now. Yeah.
Fair.
Let me search. Podcast course.
I want to learn about the storytelling aspect also. I can't go on podcasting with asking people questions.
This is why I'm telling you, Gio, we need to collaborate.
We should open a course for podcasting. Mm-hmm. Idea. Let's go.
We need to collaborate. Like,
stay tuned, listeners.
We're going to have the best course
in the world.
Okay. I took one course on Udemy.
Udemy. What's the name of the course and who made it?
Okay, let me see. I actually had this book of everything I learned and I gave it to NUS Psych Society who wanted to start their podcast too.
Oh.
And they used my book of learnings to help them.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So do they have a podcast now?
I can't remember whether it went through because I heard there was like some issues with getting things cleared from the school side or something. But I'm not sure. I can go and ask my friends again. Like, some of them are involved in there.
Okay, thanks. If they have a podcast, can you send the link also? So I can put it in the podcast description.
Sure.
And also the course, same thing. If you have the link, can send it to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't find one on Udemy and like Power Your Podcast with Storytelling. That's another one. That's the name of the other one. Power Your Podcast with Storytelling was where I learned like the more storytelling aspects.
I see.
Yeah, I guess that's the more key one. Cause from Creative Life. Yes. Power Your Podcast with Storytelling by Alex Bloomberg.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a pretty decorated podcaster. Yeah, I think that's the more important one. Like the other one, it was more like technical side of things.
Technical,
you know, you can take any online course, and I'm pretty sure there's like over the years there's been better podcast courses that's come up. So yeah, I do recommend the Alex Bloomberg one.
The Alex Bloomberg one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bloomberg spelled Bloomberg. Alex spelled Alex. Yes.
Okay. Thanks. I will look at it.
Yeah, I can send you the links later.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Everything. Okay. So, I think we've come to, honestly, my standard last few questions of this podcast.
Sure.
So, what are your takeaways from your podcasting journey, in your opinion? What are the important stuff that you learned from it?
Okay, I think one key takeaway, right, is that nothing is gonna be perfect at the start, you know? And the perfectionist in me wanted to like only start when I have everything in order and like it's perfect. But honestly, just go into it and just start. If you want to do something, just start. You learn along the way, reflect, and move forward from there. If you just keep staying in the planning stage, things aren't going to move forward and things are going to take forever to continue. So I think that's one thing I learned. Another thing that I learned that was key is you can't do everything at once. You can't, if you actually go listen to my podcast, it's actually not just focused on just athletes. There's also a mental health, mental well-being aspect to it. There's also wanting to create more awareness about Southeast Asian cultures. I really wanted to build a community of Southeast Asian youths who come together to learn more about Southeast Asia, fun facts. There's like a lot of things, social issues and things like that. I wanted to bring up about all these topics, and suddenly my podcast didn't have like a direction, you know? And if there's one thing I learned, it was all like what I mentioned just now, always have an intention with what you want to do and come back to why you're doing something, and that will help you guide better. And once you're more intentional with what you do, just like not even just in podcasting, but outside in your own life as well, I think being intentional really helps. I think, yeah, this podcasting journey really, really like taught me a lot about myself. But I looking back, I think one thing that I really wish I had done more was just to have fun and just be relaxed and not be so serious and like being all about, I want to change the world and things like that. I think I really enjoyed your podcast and actually sitting here today and being in it is like so relaxed, so chill, so like don't have to be a perfectionist, you know, and you're actually like progressing and doing,
because you're not the host today.
That's true Yeah, but I really enjoyed like this experience with you, and it's like pushing me to like maybe want to get back to podcasting even faster.
Thank you
Yeah, so I think really like to all the perfectionists out there, like just go do it. Don't stay in the planning stage forever. Nothing's gonna be perfect upon your first try. No one is, like, nothing's going to be successful. You're always going to learn. Your podcast is going to develop, expand, change as you are as a human. Like, nothing is, like, the only constant is change, lah. So, that's so cheesy. What the hell? Yeah, but I think that those were, like, two main key takeaways. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I think I want to discuss about the first one a bit. I feel like the more you know about something, then the higher your standards become of that particular thing. And I think that's how perfectionism is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're never satisfied. Yeah. You one day you learn, oh yeah, so this is how your records sound. And then, which I did like when I started the first episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
And then eventually I learned about all the different editing techniques, and I was like, oh damn, I should have done this. And
yeah, it's only through like doing then you learn.
Yeah, and then now I listen to my first episode and I cringe. I mean, like, not because I hate the episode, but it's more because not knowing that, oh yeah, I can do this. But I guess in hindsight, I can just take it as, you know, it's my audio engineering journey that I started off like this without knowing anything, and now I know a bit more, and now I can make it sound a bit better and so on. I think at some points, even because I'm a musician myself, I can hear it in even major musicians. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this DJ, I won't name the person, but this guy is very big. Like, when I hear like his original songs, like from when he was just starting out, like, it sounds objectively bad compared to what he does, like, let's say 2 years later, or even 4 years later, or even now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that person became big, and then even then he keeps on progressing, and you can clearly hear that, hey, his production is getting better, you know. And I think I will let my podcast be that way. Like, I know my first episode's audio is not the best, but, and I know in 5 years, hopefully I will run this podcast for 5 years, but maybe in 5 years I will say, oh wow, this audio is not the best, and I hope that's for the better. I hope by 5 years I know more what to do. So, hey, Fido Gio, if you're visiting this from 5 years after this publication, please make an episode and tell us about how it went. Thanks.
Yeah, I really agree with like what you've mentioned. And I think also part of like why I was dreaming about like being perfect was because I listened to like all those like big podcasts, like CNN, like for example, like what's her name? Oh no, I forgot her name. Basically like celebrities with their own podcast, right? Oh. They have a whole production team. But yeah. I failed to recognize that. I thought like a one-man show, I can do do whatever. For them, they just probably need to just focus on like the interviewing aspect. They don't really need to do the post-production, the editing, blah, blah, blah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they have a whole team. And so I always compare myself to like those podcasts that are out there. You know, I'm only listening to the end product, but I forget about the behind the scenes and how they have a whole team to support them. And it's not just one person. They have like, they can split their time to work on different things, and I don't have as much money to buy big equipment and things like that. So definitely, naturally, things will not be as perfect, you know. This is the whole effect.
Fair.
Whole effect of social media. And also, that like they always say, like, if you can't do something, just like pay someone to do it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Fiverr. Yeah. It's a gig economy. I think about the equipment, right? I think it's more of your skill than a cost. You can make cheap mics sound good. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, if you listen to some of my previous episodes, some of those are recorded using the same mic, but the sound quality changes because my editing changes. Mm. So it's not only about the mic. Most podcasts, even podcasts by celebrities, use equipment that are around the same or slightly lower price point than what we're actually using now. Mm. I would just say that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that my podcast sounds better than them. Mm-hmm. They have an entire editing team, which are paid. Yeah. I'm not paid.
Yeah.
I'm literally just doing it for the lols.
Yeah. It's like, and you have a whole like you have studies, you are in, you're in a band, CCA, and there's a lot, you have a lot of things. So.
And that too.
Yeah.
And my job doesn't just end with interviewing the people.
Yeah.
I also have to edit, go to the podcast, make all the marketing materials and collateral.
Exactly.
And
oh my God. The social media. also took like a social media course on how to like promote my podcast. Wow.
Do you want to name the course, if you remember?
It was on Creative Life.
Okay.
By Jasmine Star.
Jasmine Star.
Yeah. I remember her name because it's like pretty easy to remember. but I can't remember the name of the course, but it was on Creative Life. Jasmine Star.
Okay, let's find it. Your social media bootcamp with Jasmine Star?
Yes, that one.
That one. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I'll put this link in the description. Hey, viewers, if you want to learn how to become a better podcaster with actual storytelling, unlike this very podcast, if you want to make a podcast that's better than my new podcast in every aspect except audio,
it's true though. No. I'll give it to you. Like, I really need to learn. Like, Gio has been helping me so much, like, offline, like sharing me resources and everything about, like, audio and stuff, and like really like I admire the amount of work, like 9 hours like editing. That's insane. So yeah, I'll give it to you. And thanks. Honestly, your storytelling is not bad. Like it's genuine. Like it's like I feel like my story has been heard. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
I hope that my other guest stars also feel that way. I mean, I try to, with the podcast, I try to get people to tell them their story, but without the pre-interview. Okay, last question of the day. Do you have a tip for someone who is starting a new podcast?
A tip? Wow. Get a community. Like, not just like a team to help you, but more of like, talk to people who are into like sounds. Like, for example, if you're a Rishika, talk to Gio. You know, have conversations off the mic and get people interested. Most of the time, the people who started out listening to my podcast were like the close friends who care about me, you know. So build that that connection with people, you know, and authentic connections and get authentic listenership. And really have conversations and you learn so much more. And when I came to Hall, like Yusuf Hall, where Gio and I are staying at, I really got to expand my social circle and learn from like so many different people, so many different skill sets. And yeah, I would really say have conversations with people and go out there and network. Yeah, I wish I had done that. That's why I'm sharing that, because that's something I definitely need to do more in order to like want to improve my podcast. Yeah.
So build a network of helpers, build a network of listeners.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So yeah, that's all for me. Thank you, Rishika, for coming to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Gio. I had a blast.
No problem. I also had a blast. I think I learned a lot about the storytelling aspect of podcasting, which is literally the thing I've been missing all my life.
Not all your life. No, I'm glad you picked up something. And and also another tip is like really good for online courses. There's so many like resources out there. Make use of the internet. Google is bae. Yeah. Like
not Creative Life?
Go Google. Use the Google search engine to find Creative Life. Yeah.
I see.
Or like, yeah, so many masterclasses and things like that popping up, right? Yeah.
I see.
But don't worry, Joe, you're doing great. Like, really, you are doing so much better than me. Like, please, I should be the one getting advice from you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, after this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, thank you again for all those information and insights about the storytelling aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I think I really enjoyed it. I think I need to take time to absorb this. So this is going to be the last episode in this season that I'm going to host. So I guess thank you for listening to season 2 of Mindy Podcast, and I'll see you again in season 3 of Mindy Podcast.